Because I don't know about you, but sometimes things get lost and we need them back, right? And I'm not talking about your keys or your wallet, but sometimes our joy gets lost and we got to get it back. Sometimes our peace shows up missing. Anybody ever wake up in the middle of the night and your peace is missing? Come on, we got to get it back. Our stability in our home can be lost, and I believe God's saying we can get it back. And I think if you live long enough, there will be a cry in your spirit that says, Lord, restore it all back to me, my joy, my peace, my mind, my family, my body. And today we're going to look at Jesus the healer. Jesus the healer. We looked at Jesus the caller, the one who calls destiny, the one who speaks into your future, gives you potential. Last week, we looked at Jesus the deliverer, because if you didn't know, demons still bow at the name of Jesus. Hell is still afraid of the name of Jesus, and Jesus sets free those who are bound. And today, we're going to look at one of the greatest attributes of the ministry of Jesus. One of the things he very much focused on while he was on the earth and thereafterwards is Jesus the healer, the one who touches and restores. So open your Bible if you have one. If not, we'll have it on the screen to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And here's what it says to us. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all. What did Jesus focus on in his earthly ministry? Doing good and healing all. I want to say that one more time. Doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, I love this verse because It walks through really the heart behind what Jesus came to do. And I want to walk through it with you just for a second, because it starts off by talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And I think that's important to note because it was identifying Jesus as human. Everybody just say he was human. It speaks of his humanity. We understand, and Wednesday night we talked a little bit about the Trinity, that Jesus is eternally the Son of God, but yet fully God, right? And that is one of the mysteries of the gospel, is that God became fully man. But let me just say this to you, because this will help us understand the ministry of Jesus a little bit more. Jesus chose to live with real human limitations and model for us the life of the kingdom. That's an important revelation for you to know. Why? Because if you believe that Jesus was man, but he operated on the earth as fully God, then you will look at the ministry of Jesus and think, well, wow, that was cool, but I'm just a spectator in that. But the scripture says he became fully man, and that scripture said that he was gifted and he had the Holy Spirit on him. So Jesus operated on the earth as a man under the power of the Holy Spirit. Guess what you and I are? Human. And if we receive it, gifted with the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we look at the ministry of Jesus, it's important to know that he walked the earth as man, and he demonstrated for us what a life submitted, come on, what a life submitted under the Holy Spirit can look like. So the verse goes on to say, is Jesus of Nazareth, who was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Holy Spirit and power. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit always comes with power. How do I know that the Holy Spirit's present in my life? It always comes with power. There's a demonstration that happens when you have the Holy Spirit. We look at the early disciples, you know, cowering away in fear in the upper room. You know, we look at Peter, who denied Jesus three times, and then the Holy Spirit comes, and the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people say, well, the evidence is speaking in tongues. That's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But the real evidence of the Holy Spirit is a boldness that comes on the believer, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come upon you so that you can be my witnesses in all the world. Come on, he didn't say the Holy Spirit will come upon you so you can feel goosebumps and just, you know, be super spiritual to your people who are already inside the church. That's not what he said. He said the Holy Spirit would come on you to give you boldness and power to be my disciples in all the earth, to go to the ends of the earth. So one of the earmarked things of the Holy Spirit is power and boldness on the life of a believer. So some people will say, well, I'm not into that witness thing. I'm not into that evangelism thing. I'm not into that praying for other people thing. Well, then you're not into the Jesus thing. Let me tell you, and I just say it plain. I don't mean to offend anybody. But Jesus said, Isaiah 61, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Why? Finish out the verse, to proclaim the acceptable year, to comfort those who mourn, to go, to do what he's asked us to do. So the Holy Spirit comes on the believer as it did on Jesus with power and with boldness. So Jesus was a carrier of the Holy Spirit. He was a carrier of the presence of God as you and I are. So here's why that matters to you, because if Jesus only did miracles as God, man, that's impressive. But we're simply spectators. But if Jesus did miracles as a man yielded to God, then that demonstration should inspire us. That man, what he did, we can do. Come on, somebody. And that example will summon us to greater things and to believe for greater things. Are you with me today? So the verse goes on to say that would continue to say, all who were oppressed by the devil. Well, that tells us, as we talked about last week, that Jesus is into deliverance ministry. But that tells us healing isn't a cute accessory, right? Healing is the kingdom confronting oppression. Healing is the kingdom of God confronting oppression. Remember, we've talked about this extensively, especially over this last year, but your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why does the church do what it does? To make heaven come to earth. Why do we feed the hungry? To make heaven come to earth. Why do we clothe the naked? To make heaven come to earth. Why do we pray for the sick? Because there's no sickness in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth. Earth as it is in heaven. Are you with me? So all of this isn't just like little cute Bible things. This is us confronting the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of heaven, pushing back the kingdom of darkness and ushering into our lives, into our world, into our body, into our home, into our school system, the kingdom of God. The scripture goes on to say, for God was with him. We know in scripture, I will be with you shows up always around impossible assignments. Why? Because the presence of God comes with assignments that stretch you. You know when you don't feel God? When you're doing nothing. You know when God doesn't show up in churches? When they're not doing anything. Do you know when miracles happen? When people are pressing in, when they're leaning in for more, when they're going after more, when they're on mission. Are you with me? God says, I'll be with you in your going, in your doing, in pursuing the kingdom of God. And it always shows up with assignments that stretch us. So God gives commands that always make us uncomfortable. Why? So that he can say, guess what? I've got a comforter. I've said this before, but God will never create a life for you that makes him unnecessary. If you're believing God for a life that's easy and convenient, I don't know what to tell you. But God always creates a life that makes you dependent on him. So he'll ask you to do something bigger than you can do on your own. Give you vision beyond the scope of your limitations. Call you into purpose that is like, I could never do that. That's so far beyond me. That would stress me out. And God says, exactly. Because if you could do it in your own strength, you wouldn't need me. Come on, somebody. Now, to talk about healing, we have to talk about the environment that most people need healing in. And that's in trouble, right? And trouble for all of us is inevitable. Money can't insulate you from trouble. Status can't stop trouble from finding you. Connections are great, but connections don't keep you from trouble. And even faithful Jesus following believers face trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world, right? So I want to just give us a little explanation on this because it's going to help for where we're going today. Trouble enters our life through three main channels. Number one, self-inflicted trouble. Well, you got to say that one first. I believe most trouble enters our life because we made it enter our life. We showed up with an attitude and brought trouble. I've been trying to teach my kids that. We had a whole discussion in the car. How many of you have those discussions with your kids for 45 minutes in the car because you know they can't go anywhere, right? Like if you would just fix your attitude and you just showed up with a grateful spirit, you know, this whole environment would be different. Sometimes we fully disobey what we know God has asked us to do and trouble shows up, right? Now, one of the things that we have to be careful of is that we don't shift blame on everybody else. And the biggest offender is shifting blame to the adversary, to the devil, right? You've heard me say this often, but you know, the devil, I don't know that he has as much of a mark on your life as you think he has, because here's what I'm saying. I think we are more under the Psalm 91 covering of God than we realize. And sometimes we discredit the covering of God because trouble's showing up and we're saying, well, the devil did it. He found me. He brought this. And no. If you reverse the situation back, you put that on your charge card when you knew you didn't have money to pay for it because you were operating out of the flesh and out of your emotions. And now the bills come due and now you're stressed out and now you've got trouble. And the devil didn't do it. Are you with me? So self-inflicted trouble. You spoke your mind when the Holy Spirit was screaming on the inside of you, shut up, don't say anything, hold your peace. And now you have trouble, and now you're without a job, and now you're, you know, and the devil didn't do it, your flesh did it. But the problem here is until we realize that we have a part in it, that we might have been involved in making it happen, we will never walk out fully healed. Why? Because we're going to be destined to repeat the same mistakes over and over again until we can stop and say, you know what? That one was on me, God. I'm sorry. Now, God's a big God. He's a gracious God. And when you repent before him and you're honest before him, he'll get you back to where you need to be. He'll turn the situation around because that's the kind of God we serve. Amen? Then there's trouble that's inflicted genuinely by other people. Wounds, betrayals, trauma can all come into our life. And then thirdly is that uncontrolled trouble. Trouble you did not see it coming, but it hit your life, an attack from the adversary, something that was beyond your control. And when trouble hits, what does our cry become? Well, Lord, bring restoration, bring healing. But the bigger question in all of that is when trouble does hit, where do we run? The Bible says, God, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Amen. So go with me to Matthew 9:18 and through verse 26. I'm just going to focus on a few lines of it. But a ruler named Jairus comes to Jesus, and here's what it says. He says, my daughter is dead, but come lay your hands on her and she will live. And this is great. Jesus says, absolutely. You know, this is bold faith on behalf of Jairus, and Jesus goes with him. But on the way, the Bible says, behold, now pay attention to this. A woman with an issue of blood for 12 years comes behind Jesus and touches the fringe of his garment. Next verse. And she says within herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. 12 years of suffering, 12 years of isolation, 12 years of spending resource, every resource that she had to find healing, 12 years of things only getting worse. But then she said within herself, maybe this Jesus can do what no man can do. Maybe this Jesus is a man of his word. Maybe what he did for others, he will do for me. Sometimes we have to come to the end of ourselves before we can approach the beginning of where Jesus steps in. For 12 years, she tried everything in her own strength, absence from the power of the Spirit, absent from the ministry of Jesus, and it profited her nothing. But that inner voice said, but maybe And you can see her faith starting to rise. If I just touch the hem of his garment. So she touches the hem of his garment and she's instantly healed. Jesus goes on from that moment to Jairus' house and raises the girl from the dead. So in one story, Jesus heals what's been bleeding and what's been troubling this woman for 12 years. And Jesus resurrects what has been dead. So he has the ability to restore bodies. Yes, that's what he did for that little girl. But he also restores, and here's what he did for that woman, dignity, community, future, and hope. Why? Because healing had taken all of that away from her. So yes, he wants to restore your body, but he also wants to restore your dignity, your community, your future, your hope, your purpose, your destiny, the things that the enemy have come in and tried to rob and steal and take away from you. So let's come settle something here as a church. And we talked about this also in the doxology series, but we believe that the word of God is our highest authority. I want us to settle that today. And many people will have experiences in their life that are contrary to the word of God. Well, I know he promised me peace, but I have anxiety. So what a lot of people try to do is they say, well, if that's my experience, then I have to somehow make this word match that experience. Because if the word matches the experience, then I'm okay, right? But that's not what we do. Why? The word doesn't change and the word is our highest authority. So what do? We go to the word and we say, you know what? This doesn't match my experience. Therefore, the word's not wrong. My experience is wrong. Come on. So therefore, I'm experiencing something that is not outlined in the word of God, and I have to make my life come in alignment with the word of God and apply it. I have to find what God's will is concerning that situation. But here's the thing about the will of God. It is not hidden. It is revealed in Jesus. Look at the ministry of Jesus. I don't have time to dive into all of it today. But the main thing that Jesus did, and it said he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Jesus constantly healed those who came to him. Constantly. It's what propelled his ministry. It's how his fame spread. It's like this, there's a miracle worker. And what's interesting is if you open up the pages of the New Testament and you look at the ministry of Jesus, you will never, ever, 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 ever find one person who came to Jesus and asked for healing and Jesus said no. Are you with? So like never once did he say, well, these circumstances are a little out of my control, or, you know, well, this is on you, because he always said yes. Maybe it wasn't in their timing. We can go to Lazarus, right? And they were like, come, Jesus, you didn't show up. But he said, don't worry about it. I'm the resurrection and the life, and I'm standing in front of you right now. So even when you thought it was too far gone, it's not too far gone. Right? So we never see even one time in scripture that somebody came to Jesus for healing and Jesus said no. Like how Pastor Rod Parsley puts it, he says, if God didn't want to heal you, then he shouldn't have. Right. Why? Because healing happened at the cross. Healing happened by the stripes on his back. It is a past tense thing. If he didn't want to heal you, then he shouldn't have. Why? This is purchase language. This is covenant language. So if you want to see what the will of God is for your life, look at Jesus. It is God revealed. And what I think is so interesting when it comes to the subject of healing, especially in the church, you know, there's so much debate. Is God a healer? What does he mean? And is it will for him to heal everybody? And what's so interesting is we can trust God with our eternity. When you get saved, you're saying, God, I'm trusting you that when I close my eyes for the last time on this planet, that you hold my eternity. But everything between now and then, I'm just not sure that you can handle. I'm not sure you can just, you know, you believe, like this Bible says that in the last day, the trumpet will sound and the dead will rise from their graves. The cremated are coming back together. Are you with me? Ash to ash is all being resurrected. And we can trust God that said, well, I don't understand how all that's going to work, but he said he's going to do it. And because it's way, way out there somewhere, you know, in the future, and I just trust God with all of that. But you know what I'm experiencing in my body right now, that's just too far beyond God. Like, don't limit him based off of the small things. Like, if he can bring ashes from the ground back together and resurrect a body that's been dead for hundreds of years, then surely he can heal what's going on in my body right now. So understand that healing is the smaller miracle. Actually, let's look at that. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus goes back into his own town, and because they said, oh, this is just Jesus, he's the carpenter's son, it says, now Jesus could do no mighty work there. Think about that, no mighty work, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So he did no mighty work, but he did lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. So he's saying the healing wasn't even a mighty work. Like, the people in the town didn't even have enough faith to receive him, but he said, I'll still be able to do some healing there. I'll lay my hands and heal a few people. They reject me. They don't got faith in me, but I'll do the small thing, the insignificant. I'll just heal a few people on my way out. But we approach God like healing is this big, giant, I don't even know if it can happen thing. And Jesus says, that's a small thing. The saving of your soul is the big thing. Your spirit coming back to life at salvation is the big thing. I think about Lazarus and we think, wow, what a God who could stand and call Lazarus from the tomb after 3 days being in the tomb. You know why that was significant? Because Jewish beliefs that after 3 days, their spirit left their body. So for them, it was like it was even impossible for Jesus to raise him because his spirit had already left. And here comes Jesus. But the interesting thing about that is, I mean, that was a good day for Lazarus coming back to life. But do you realize that that healing was only temporary for Lazarus? Because he died again. Like, he would go on to die. So for Jesus, it wasn't even the big thing. It wasn't even like, oh yeah, I'll do it. You know, I'm gonna heal your body. You're gonna live on the earth a little bit longer. But what I'm gonna do at the cross, that's the big thing. Yeah. Taking away the sin of the world, that's the big thing. I love Matthew 15. Jesus calls healing. It says the children's bread. You know what I think about that is bread isn't rare. Bread is family provision. So we don't act like strangers trying to convince God to heal us. We come like children to the table receiving bread from our Father. It is our bread. So listen, salvation is not only for forgiveness someday. Salvation is rescue, spirit, soul, and body. The gospel was never meant to be sliced into, well, forgiveness is real, but healing is optional. When you understand the New Testament is a covenant, healing is a part of that covenant provision provided. This really should be like a 5-week seminar. I'm trying to cram it into like 30 minutes, so just give me some grace, right? And some people might say, okay, yeah, Jesus was a healer, but healing ended with Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit on Jesus, and then it ended. And then you got some people that, well, then it was on the disciples and the early church just for the starting of the early church. Well, let me show you two things. First of all, John 14, 12. Here's the words of Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you that whoever, everybody say whoever, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to my Father. So whoever is whoever. Just as it would say, whoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you would believe that whoever is whoever. Whoever believes in me can do greater works. So Jesus looked at all he did in his ministry, and he said, the church that's coming after me will do greater than all of these. So Jesus is speaking and saying, listen, this isn't dying out with me. This is moving beyond me. All right, well, let's look at the argument that says, well, you know, it was for the early church. It was just for the apostles to start the ministry. Go to James chapter 5, verse 14. Gives us a pretty clear instruction here to the church, not the apostles, to the church. Here's what it says. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Next verse. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. So Jesus said, listen, what's coming after me? He threw it to the next. And here in James, he's throwing it to whoever again. Not just the apostles, but he says, call for the elders of the church. And then he ends, pray for one another. So he's saying now it's not even just the elders. Yep, there's power in calling for the leadership, for praying the prayer of faith. But he says you can also pray for one another that you may be healed. So healing didn't stop with Jesus. It didn't stop with the apostles. It is a benefit of the new covenant. It is a benefit of what Jesus provided for us at the cross. Amen? So Jesus didn't stop. He simply multiplied his hands. And he said, now I'm throwing the ball to y'all. Start healing some people. But I want to get real practical because I don't want to just inspire, right? And like, yeah, that was great, but I don't know how to walk that out every day. Right? How do we receive healing in our life? Number one, you need to know that faith is a muscle. Some people are trying to believe God for a 3-tier wedding cake when they haven't believed God for a donut. All right? And so what I say is some people wait until trouble shows up at their door and they have no spiritual muscle or strength to withstand what is knocking. That's why I say you should always, 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 always be believing God for something. And if you're like, well, I don't really have any needs in my life, find somebody around you who has a need in their life, attach your faith with theirs, and start believing God. Why? Because the moment you stop going to the gym, the moment you stop stretching your muscles is the moment they stop building. And guess what? It doesn't just stay. Wouldn't that be great if you just did it one time and like, whew, that's done for life. Whew, got that done, check it off, right? No, what happens if you don't keep stretching it and you don't keep building it and tearing it down and building it back up, what happens? It reverts. Unfortunately, it goes back to default, which is not good. And your faith is the same way. When it's not always being stretched to believe for more, to trust God for more, it is going to shrink back. So now you have a big thing show up at your life, in your life, and you're like, well, I don't even know where to begin with this. Start believing God for the small things. Start stepping out. Start saying, Lord, you know what? I know my finances are okay right now, but I'm gonna believe you for more so that I can give to Heart for the house this year. I'm gonna believe you for more so that I can buy a snowblower for that 70-year-old neighbor. And I don't know what she's gonna do with a snowblower, but you know, or pay for somebody else. Well, what a gift, right? Like, you gotta fire it up before it snows, you know, here she's out there. But I believe you for finances so that I can pay for someone to do her driveway. Come on, somebody. Always be stretching your faith. Always be believing for something. Why? Matthew 11:12 says the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the kingdom is received by force. There's an aggressiveness. If you want to get something from God, it's not, well, I'm just going to sit here on the easy chair and just see what floats into me. No, there's an aggressiveness that has to come. Not weird force, like an arrogance, but a holy persistence. I'm going after God. I'm stretching my faith muscles. I'm never backing down. Now listen, faith doesn't mean you never feel pain. Faith means your agreement stays with God. I don't have a lot of time to stay here. That's why I said this should be a long seminar. But when you're believing God for healing or manifestation of healing in your life, what you say matters. What comes out of your mouth matters. Your words are always creating your world. This is Bible, and you can go back. We've done so many sermons on this. You can go back on YouTube and find them. But your words create your world. You are either coming in agreement with God or you are breaking agreement with God and coming into agreement with the adversary. So some people wear sickness and disease like a badge of honor on their life. It's the favorite thing they like to talk about. You can't talk to them for 2.3 seconds and find out every ailment that they have. It's almost the open door into their life. The same thing is true when people go through trauma. And the Bible says you should come out not even smelling like smoke, like there's no evidence, but yeah, no, you know, I've got a lot of issues because I went through this and I went through. You may, but you are not defined by those issues. And healing in your life doesn't mean you spend the next 30 years rehearsing those issues over and over and over again, telling everybody how you can't trust anybody because of what somebody did to you 20 years ago. Get healed, get free, get whole, move on, pursue God. And I'm not dismissing anybody's pain or anybody's ailments. That's not my heart today. What I'm saying is that some people will just dwell there and stay there instead of saying, you know what? I have to identify that this is out of alignment with the will of God for my life. So instead of wearing it like a badge of honor, I'm gonna come into agreement with the things of God, and I'm going to speak out of my mouth what God says. Now, I wanna address this because we all have been in seasons of our life or situations where we've prayed, you've brought somebody to the altar, we've prayed and healing doesn't manifest or manifest right away. So I wanna address that because again, my goal today isn't just to inspire you, it's to help you stand firm in faith, amen? So here's the pastoral tension. Some healings are instant. Some healings happen, somebody prays for you and it's like, I felt the heat, I felt the fire, I felt God healing manifested in my body. I can do now what I couldn't do. You can go, doctors can scan it and it's gone. Healing manifests that way. Other healings are progressive, where as time progresses, healing begins to manifest. So just because you have received prayer and you don't feel it hit your body, don't move into doubt. Don't move into what didn't work. Faith is trust. Trust is confidence. So you can walk away from that healing and say, well, I still feel it there, but I know it's manifesting. And that's how you watch your words. You don't say, no, nothing happened. Yeah, I'm just as broke as I ever was. No. I believe, do you believe you received? Like, again, would you treat your salvation that way? Like, you know, you got into a fight with somebody, said something you ought not to say. Do you walk out and say, I guess salvation didn't work. Didn't manifest for me. No, you would say, well, no, I know I shouldn't have done that, but the forgiveness of God is covered and I'm still being saved. I wish I had more time on this. Actually, the word saved is the word sozo, S-O-Z-O, which means present progressive. We don't have that in the English tense. We have past, present, and future, right? But present progressive means it's now and now again, and now, wait, again, every second it's now, present progressive. So you're not just saved at the moment that you ask Jesus to come into your heart. You are sozo, present progressively being saved, that you were saved in this second, but before I can get this word out, you're saved again. Salvation's always working in your life. And the same thing, because salvation includes healing. So yeah, I prayed and I didn't see the full manifestation, but I'm still being healed. And again, healing is manifesting now and healing is happening now. So never just walk away and say, well, it didn't happen, therefore, guess it didn't work. No. It's you keep leaning in your faith. Amen? And we have to refuse these two errors, lowering the word to make it match our experience. But we also have to resist shaming those who are hurting. Because the reality is, we can't force God's timing. And we are not God. So there's a whole lot of people who say stupid things like, well, if you had more faith, God would heal your body. Now, there is an element because the Bible says you have to pray the prayer of faith, believe you receive. Faith is a big element to it. But I have known many strong, faith-filled people who have stood on the word of God and didn't receive their healing. That I would not even ever say, well, their faith didn't work. No, I'm not God, and I can't pretend to be God, and I can't step in the place of God, because as soon as I start trying to figure out why and attach blame, what am I doing? I'm rising myself up in pride saying, I have a mind better than Christ. I know our human effort is to try to figure it out and how, why and what's going on here. We can't do that. So we also never shame people who are waiting because again, everybody would just say, yeah, 100%, bring it, come on. Like nobody's saying, well, I'm decided I didn't want to receive it today, right? No. So we live with compassion for those who are still in the waiting game. And here's a statement that we live by. When we experience loss, permission is never granted to change the mandate. A setback doesn't give us an option for a brand new doctrine in the church. A setback does not give us permission for a new doctrine. Are you with me today?
Yes.
So we don't confuse delay with denial. We don't let disappointment disciple us. We stay tender. We stay expectant. We stay praying. We don't go to God like, you know, we're begging him to write a check for us to be healed. We're delivering a check that Jesus already paid for in full. So we, number one, we have to settle, is it God's will to heal? Resounding yes. Is it ever God's will for sickness and disease to be in anyone's body? No. Now, you hear me say this all the time, but because I had and I'll be real transparent, my mother passed away from cancer. Between my birth and the time I was 27, had not gone to a doctor for a checkup. High faith person, believing God. And there were years where there were some symptoms happening. No, not that. And what's sad is the cancer that she passed from, if had been discovered earlier, would just be gone. Not something that people routinely pass from. So in my flesh, it wants to be like, well, God, you know, and God can do a miracle. Don't hear my heart on that. But some things show up in people's lives out of a result of, what does the word say? My people perish for a lack of knowledge, for not doing what they know they're supposed to do. Like, I'm working on losing this. You can all pray for me. Why? Because if we spend, you know, Sarah and I got married when we were 30, so I had spent like, you know, the 15, 20 years prior to that, maybe 15 years, eating out, eating fast food. And I can only stay on that train so long before it begins to negatively affect my body. Now, I can turn to God and say, Lord, I'm believing you for healing, and it's God, a gracious God, and will provide healing for my body. Yes. Can I do whatever it is I want to do and just expect God to make up the difference? No. So should you avoid going to the doctor and doing what a doctor's told you because, well, I'm going to live by faith and I'm just going to believe God's going to do everything? No. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God gave us medicine. He gave us, you know, one of his disciples was a physician. You know, he's not anti-medicine. Right? So you have to take care. And again, I've used the illustration in the realm of your finances. You can't just spend and spend and spend and say, well, God, you're not providing enough. Well, no, you're just greedy and are trying to make me make up the difference. Right? So I want us to be just very clear on this. Is we believe God for healing, but you also have to participate in your own healing. Lord, doors do I need to close in my life? What have I been doing wrong? What have I not been eating that I should be eating? What stuff, do you understand what I'm saying? People perish for a lack of knowledge. Open your mind and saying, Lord, you know, show me if there are areas. And then let me just settle this and then we're gonna close this team, you can come. There will be people who will leave this planet who had faith. Their parents had faith, their church had faith, they had faith, and they still left from sickness and disease. And I've had to settle it in my heart as a pastor because I've done funerals for people that it makes no earthly sense. That as long as I'm on this side of heaven, I will not understand. I don't know. Why? How? I don't know. But what I will do is I will submit myself to the Lord, that he is God and I am not. And I will do what he's asked me to do. And that's approach every bit of sickness and disease in my life, in the life of my church family, in the life of my natural family, as Jesus did, enforcing the kingdom of heaven into the kingdoms of this earth. And I still call sickness and disease illegal. I still call it anti-kingdom. I still call it anti-God. I still call it anti-the will of God. His will always to heal, yes. So even when we experience loss or we have questions, we don't change the doctrine. We say, God, I then submit that to you, and I will rise up again and I will believe for the next person. And I'll pray for the next person. And I'll pray for myself again. And for some who have been waiting for decades and years and you still don't see the manifestation of it, do not back down. Don't back down. Keep praying, keep believing until you get to heaven where you're eventually going to be fully healed anyway. Until you cross over, you believe God and you contend for his will in this earth and you never let it go. Are you with me? So let's stand to our feet together. I want to do something a little different today. I believe God's calling us for higher faith. And higher faith, listen, doesn't deny pain. It doesn't pretend that systems don't exist. It means we keep contending that the word of God is higher than what I can see. It's higher. That even in loss, we don't change the mandate. We still obey scripture. I read to you earlier, James 5:16. It said, pray for one another that you might be healed. So I just want to take a minute in the room. And if you're in the room today and you feel like you need healing in your body, maybe it's not even your body. Maybe it's in your mind, your finances, your marriage, healing in every aspect of your life. Because listen, healing, yes, it's physical. But remember when he restored the woman with the issue of blood, yes, he healed her physically, but he restored so much more. He wants to heal the shame. He wants to heal the trauma. He wants to heal the nervousness. He wants to heal all of that. And if you're in the room today and you need healing in any aspect of your life, I want you just to be obedient to the Lord and just slip your hand up. Now, what I want us to do is for those around those people with their hands, I want you to find them and I want you to put your hand, go put your hands on them. Get out of your seat, come on. Find somebody who has their hand up. And you might be like, well, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say. Don't worry about that. What did the scripture say? He said, you can call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith and you will be healed. But remember, it also said, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Remember, Jesus took the healing and threw it to the future church. He said, now this is in your hands. So if you're praying for somebody, you don't have to go into your whole story and your whole background. You can just say whatever it is. Physical healing, emotional healing, trauma. If you don't want to say anything, that's all right. But I want you to pray for one another. So just in this moment, we're not going to move on real quickly. Just take a moment. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for every person who needs healing in their body. Emotional healing from trauma. Healing from brokenness, healing from disappointment, physical ailments. Father, I pray that you would restore what trouble has tried to steal from them, that you would restore what sickness tried to attack, restore what the enemy oppressed. We declare your word is our highest authority. Your name is above every name. Every name bows to the name of Jesus. Anxiety bows, cancer bows. Sickness bows, every other name bows to the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that your kingdom would come in our life as it is in heaven. We take healing by force. We declare that it is ours. It is a part of our provision. It is a part of our package. It is a part of what you died to give us at Calvary. We resist the temptation to settle. We resist the temptation to say, this is your will because it's easier. No, no, we press back and we say, we accept nothing but the full will of our God. And Lord, where corrective measures need to happen in our own self, where we need to make adjustments to our diets or exercise or our spending or bitterness in our heart. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak that to us, change us, correct us. And Lord, I pray for every person who's been marked by disappointment. And in this subject, they feel like they just want to draw back because they have a different experience. Lord, I thank you that you heal. You heal those hurts. You heal those disappointments. And I thank you that the spirit of faith rises up again. Rises up again. In Jesus' name, amen.